welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Rich Valdez, and this is Greetings from Beyond Radio. Let's go through the motions first and foremost, where anyone and everyone can hear or see us. So we're going to have that list pop up any second now. If my producer is still there, I hope. But in the meantime, our guest is someone that I've known for well over a decade. This is going to be interesting because we have a lot of time to catch up on. If you are listening or watching and you want to find out where else you can watch and listen to us, you can see and hear us from Spotify, Facebook, YouTube, iHeart, Get Haunted Radio, Amazon Music, Podcast Index, Listen Notes, Samsung Podcast, Apple Podcast, wherever Podcast Apple is available, and Google Podcast and Pandora. So a little history about how I met this young lady. I happened to meet her, a friend of mine, and I went all the way to Pensacola Paracon, which happened to be her gig. And we were taken back by how welcoming she was, not only welcoming, but open. And she shot straight from the hip. Come to find out, not only that, she was psychic medium extraordinaire. She was an organizer. She's so many things, producer. But with no further ado, let me introduce to you, and she can tell you her story herself, because you know what, who better than to tell her story than the person itself. So Erica Marcia Bussar Haney, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rich. It's such a pleasure to join you today.
It's a pleasure to have you.
And I've always been a fan of you.
Oh, stop. Either way, I mean, I already gave a little history. We met as far back as 2011. And it's fun to always meet like-minded individuals. And I've always stated that they're very hard to find, but birds of a feather flock together. And I think that's why you've chosen to always be involved in conventions and whatnot, because you get to meet so many different souls coming together, not necessarily for the same reason. You know, some people may be interested in, you know, paranormal or comics or whatever, but we're all, you know, souls looking to find connection. I'd like to talk a little bit about how you came about your gifts in the first place. When was your first experience with that?
So it's kind of, you know, I speak of that in different times because, you know, childhood, I was told that I saw things. Mm-hmm. But when I recall the most impactful time, it was when I was very young and, you know, I kind of knew about funerals, didn't like them very much. But my mom worked for a dentist. His name was Dr. Spence, and we had gone to his funeral. And then that same evening, he sat next to me on my bed. And, you know, I understood he was dead, but I kind of wanted to convince myself I was dreaming. And he could talk to me, but his mouth never moved and I could hear him speak to me. And I wasn't freaked out by him because I loved him. He always would let me get treasures out of the treasure box at the dentist's office. And he kind of said some things to me and then he just disappeared. And I don't know if I was freaked out. I eventually lay down and went to sleep and convinced myself that it was all a dream. And that was one of the first memories that I have of seeing what I call a flesh suit, a real person that was not present at that time in our stream of consciousness, how we see people. He was definitely deceased at that time.
I don't know about you, but if I saw someone that I just attended their funeral viewing end up on my side of the bed, I'd be like, no, you're supposed to be dead. Bye-bye. Or I'd jump out off the bed. And how old were you when this happened?
You know, I think I was between 7 and 10. I've got to go back and figure out the date that he died versus my age now, but it was somewhere within the 7 and 10 range. And you got to understand, I mean, I grew up with a family. My mom was born in Chelsea, Massachusetts, but we always heard of ghost stories. It was nothing abnormal for us. You know, my mom played with the Native Indian, her siblings played with a dead little Native American girl in Boston, in Massachusetts. And, you know, they grew up having what they call Jesus in the house, angels and spirits. And, you know, so it was not uncommon to hear, you know, stories of my mom going outside, you know, because a man said, hey, you know, go get your dad. And when they went to go get the guy, he disappeared because he was a spirit. My mom played with the Ouija board when I was young. I mean, I grew up in a weird place in time. My mom is a hippie. And an artist.
Actually, those are the best, to be honest with you. I wish my mom was hippie. I didn't have that pleasure, unfortunately. But I will say this. Everyone has a reason to go through their journey because it all leads them to where they're supposed to be anyways, be it good, bad, or indifferent. And I would say in your situation, it was all for the best because look at where you're at now. Tell us a little bit about this kidney transplant and what effect it had on you. You didn't turn into like the She-Hulk or anything, but, you know, what's going on here?
So, little known fact, you know, because my private life is very private. I mean, most people say, I didn't even know you were married because I've never seen your husband on Facebook or my children. Very private individual. And so, you know, throughout this whole journey of having the Comic-Con where we had Chip Coffee come in 2009 up until I think about 2016, 17, I'd been running this convention, me and my family, not telling the public that I was actually battling polycystic kidney disease and coming to the kidney failure stage. So here this woman is putting on this cheap $10 a head event with her family, not telling anybody I'm sick. And so eventually I stopped it because my health made me. And then, you know, I was lucky on July the 31st, 2 days before my birthday, August 2nd in 2019, to get a kidney transplant. I had gone through the whole dialysis process, never told any of my customers the thing in my arm here to prove it. But, you know, even one of my good friends told me, what are you talking about? You had a kidney transplant. That's how private I was about my medical conditions. And now I talk about it and sing about it because I realized that I missed lots of opportunities throughout this whole lifetime, you know, so far to spread awareness with kidney disease and also, you know, talking about donorship and, you know, encouraging people to be kidney donors and organ donors on their driver's license.
Do you really think that has this enhanced your abilities? Because I always hear of individuals that have had near death experiences or they've had transplants of other types, you know, organs and whatnot. And then all of a sudden they have a liking for chicken sandwiches when all they ate was burgers before, or a certain sauce that they hated before, now they love. Do you feel this somehow may have changed the way your gift perceives things?
Well, definitely. The first 3 months after the transplant, I ate only white lima beans. Like I didn't eat anything else, like nonstop beans, 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 beans. So it had to be his favorite thing. And then I noticed that there were some personality traits. I'm already a boss babe, but I became a little bit more bossy babe. and you know, I felt like I had more male tendencies, you know, like, I don't know, I'm like 5'4" and I thought I was like 6'7" or something. But, you know, definitely with my intuition where, you know, I thought I was pretty badass before as the medium, you know, seeing clairvoyantly and hearing and smelling and tasting and remote viewing, he's like, team up, you know? And so a lot of the abilities in heighten, you know, I'd be talking to somebody and I'd be like, I'm in your house, I'm walking around. And I wasn't me, I was him and others. And, you know, I've always done it, but now it's just like that. Like I can think it and I'm there. And it's kind of crazy. So I think he does help me a lot.
A big shout out to everyone in the chat room. Of course, Courtney Peterson, who loves to share out to everyone in the Get Haunted universe. Everyone's show. We have April A. Wilson, which ironically will be my guest October 2nd. Thank you for chiming in, April. Michelle Oliver, all the way from Alberta, Canada. Olga Bennett, my dear friend for approximately 23 years. Can you believe it? She stuck up with me that long. And I'm telling you, there's always people coming and going. So I'm looking forward to hearing from them. And I don't know. Can you get readings? You know,
I'm sure, most definitely.
You know, I mean, not now. I mean, we could do this later on, you know. I don't want you going cold, you know, cold feet in and then going, Rich, what'd you expect from me? Come on now. Now I got to start eating my lima beans again or, you know. For the Lord, for God's sakes. But that being said, you know, is your gift that automatic? Do you know how to turn it on or off? Or is it just, you know, it just comes on whenever? Or is it just a little bit of, you know, all those situations I just gave you right now?
So I have felt that I'm always on because I'm truly empathic. But what I've learned over time, because, you know, the bridge between empathy and insanity is very short.
Yes.
So I've learned to what I call focus. And focusing basically is just me going, okay, I'm focused, you know. And so it is an intentional thing. I don't walk around psychic or medium all day long. Because to me, that is a lot of times ego, you know, people, oh, I'm psychic and you might get something and then you're given information that's not asked for. It's, you know, I think that it's very important to protect and respect people's psychic, you know, space. And people, you know, I've met people that just go up to people and say, hey, you're such and such is behind. And I think that's ego. I think that we should use discernment and not go where we're not invited. Instead, pray for that person or ask that spirit to go to them in the way that is best suited for them, which could be a dream. You know, we don't have to be everybody's psychic, but you know, that's just my opinion.
You know what? I actually agree with that. And I have seen a lot of psychic mediums that'll just out of the blue just say, I got this sensation that you are going to die. You know, and I'm like, or you're going to be in a car accident or someone close to you is going to, you know, there's a time and place for everything. But mm-hmm. I've always believed that if you approach these individuals that you get, you know, these impulses from, these impressions, don't you think it's common courtesy to pull them aside and say, hey, can I share something with you? It's very private. And I want to step away from everybody else. And I don't see much of that happening anymore. I see so many people nowadays saying this, and this, and it's dirty laundry that they really would prefer that you keep to yourself or yeah. They keep to themselves. Do you see a lot of this going on amidst all the psychic mediums out there?
I don't really. I mean, I have a lot of respect for a lot of the mediums that I've had personal interactions with. And they know discernment. They were taught that, whether they went through the Arthur Findlay or they self-taught themselves or whatever. So there is like what I want to call a lot of people that are just embracing their ability. And maybe they're new at it in some ways. And the person that's reading, needs validation. And so a lot of times they will throw something out, want a response or validation when they need to learn that. When I'm in Walmart, yeah, I might see, you know, someone that I'm drawn to or looks familiar to me and their dead person might be behind them. But I'm not going to go up to that person and looking like crazy damn Erica and say, hey, by the way, I got a vision and I need to tell you this. Because first of all, I am invading their energetic space. I'm working an ego because it's not about them. It's about me. Let me prove to you that I'm psychic. And then secondly is I am also not respecting the spirit world because the spirit world could find a better way to connect with that person. And maybe a dream would do it. Maybe them going outside, seeing a butterfly, a cardinal, having a sense of, you know, goosebumps. And then they using their telepathy saying, oh, my God, this feels like my dad is going to be more impactful than some crazy girl coming up to them, telling them all this stuff that they are in Walmart shopping for diapers and stuff. they're not emotionally in that place to receive that. And so I tell people, question the why and question the when and what is best, or what I say, in the highest good of all involved. And stay out of ego, because ego will get you tripped up and you'll say some wrong shit. And I see that happen a lot of times.
You know, it's funny, and I'm happy you mentioned this, because it's just not, you know, psychic mediums that experience little, you know, nuggets of information from the spirit world. My producer, Jen, I'd say about, I think the very day after the viewing for her mother, after she passed away, she was sitting outside, and all of a sudden she felt like there was something right around here. Mm-hmm. And as soon as she looked, it was a hummingbird, but it was hovering there for the longest time. She's like, what is that? What is that? And when she finally looked, it was there long enough after she looked at it to say hi, and then just mm-hmm. went away. And what came to me, and I'm a psychic as a box of rocks, I'm empathic, but what kind of flowed out of me was like, that's your mom. Mm-hmm. That was your mom. She was just letting you know she's okay. And then she started expressing to me all the weird things that had happened after her mother had passed away, you know, like the TV that she used to watch all the time turning on, and turning on to the channel that she used to watch. But at the time, her son was watching another channel, but it would switch to the Food Network or Travel Channel or something like that. And he'd be like, what the hell's going on? She didn't feel like watching your show. She wanted to watch her show. It's mm-hmm. funny, all the last, you know, the days after a person passes away, they still make their presence known to the living that don't have necessary, I think everyone has the gift, but, you know, have enhanced their gift like you have. Do you feel that that's something true, that that does happen on a regular basis?
Yes. And I would even say that before death, because I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to, and, you know, psychics, mediums, et cetera, have talked, oh, even family members talk, I should have been there. I should have been there. I wasn't there when they said their last goodbye. Well, sometimes prior to death, maybe they're in hospice and they're in that state where they're out of body more than they're in body, mm-hmm. and they're seeing family members. And so one family member might have a dream right at the time prior to death about dad is going to die or something. And then another family, because that person will go to them and say, call such and such. This happened with my grandmother. So the dead that are dying sometimes go out of body and visit and communicate with us through telepathy,
yes,
prior to death and also after death. And then even after that, like, you know, I had just had a group of ladies from Mississippi drive down today and meet with me at my office. And all of them, you know, and I can speak of this, most of my readings are confidential, but they wouldn't have a problem. All of them have connections to their loved ones after many, many years of death. So yes, I would agree. We're all definitely in touch with that telepathic communication with the spirit world. It's just that we have to sometimes be careful too, because the spirit world and other things can mimic our loved ones. Yeah.
We have someone from the chat room, Michelle Olivier. I hope I said your last name right. God, good Lord. I'm horrible with last names, and people are horrible with mine, but I'm going to read out what she shared with us. I just recently accepted that my husband will not be coming home anymore. And I think that I have been blocking any signs that he is trying to give to me. I'm wondering if maybe I will start seeing things more clearly now. What do you have to say about that?
Michelle, that is a great point. Great point, Michelle, and thanks for bringing that up. This is what I tell people. I'm not special. I often say, fire your psychic, fire your medium. You don't even need them. All you need to do is change the vibration. So let's say someone dies, your husband passed, okay? And you are sitting in that room, and I feel like I'm smelling a shirt, okay, thinking about this individual, and tears are falling and you're crying and you just want that one opportunity, because he came to you in the dream state already, but you want that opportunity just to see him in the dream state again. but you're crying. And he's coming down and he's giving you the goosebumps and the cold chills. And he's also in the bed over there on the walking to the left-hand side by the window, and you're by the door. But he's basically talking to you, but we're low vibration, they're high vibration. So how you bring them about, how you get them to communicate, how you see him more, how you unblock yourself, because you're not blocked, but we'll just use that term, is that you remember love, girl. Best thing for you to do is think about sex. And I hate to say this, but this is just what I'm going to say. The best times that you have made the most beautiful love with your husband, when you were high vibration and that love was there, think about that. Think about times where he farted and made you laugh, and think about times you wanted to kill him because he, you know, made a mess in the kitchen or spilled paint. I don't know what that's about, but you know, those are the memories that they love. They don't want that, oh, when I died, you know, I was in the bed hurting, and that's low vibration. So we got to think about this. Would you want to be remembered by that 1 second of death, or this whole life of shared wonderful memories? And that is what's going to help you unblock yourself, is to think of him in love. Think of him in the most high, beautiful, smiley times. Tears might fall, but you will be able to connect with him much better in that vibration.
You know, I noticed as you were talking, you seem to be picking up on a few things from Michelle. I'd like to hear back from Michelle and see if you were spot on, and hopefully she was paying attention. I don't know if she's in the middle of crying right now. I know that she had posted this a little earlier before you started talking. She had stated, "I just wanted to thank you both for sharing your wonderful abilities with all of us. It means a lot to me." Well, honey, I got no abilities. Like I said, I am as psychic as a box of rocks. But this young lady over here, that's a different matter altogether. Okay, so she just shared this, and I'm going to share it right here. She is exactly right about everything she said. There you go.
Thank you. And I'm a remind everybody too, is that we are conduits of information. Okay.
Yes.
Michelle, you're a conduit of information. Your husband has more stake to talk to you, beautiful, beautiful woman, than he would me. So you are the lifeline. You're the telephone line to the dead, pun. So all you got to do is pick up that phone with intention and love. Okay. And the other thing I want to say is that I didn't do anything, honey. Take me out of the equation. If the channel is clear, it's because the information is correct from the spirit world, and we are just the conduit. So you know, like, that's why I get so frustrated with egos with mediums. It's like, baby, if you're doing your job, you're just telling information. It's not about you. So thank you, though.
She's just a mouthpiece, is what she's trying to say, Michelle. So, happy birthday to John Ross, and hello to Crystal Allman. And Michelle states, "I feel him near, but can't see him." But you know what? And just to say this, the fact that you feel him is enough. Because if you know, I still from time to time I smell my grandfather's pipe or cigar smoke, or my grandmother's rose perfume, and that's just enough, what I needed to get me through the day. And that's sometimes all you really need. It's another sense. We have many senses, and if your senses are being stimulated at that time, that's all you, and you know where it's coming from, you're good. Am I right?
Yeah, the simple acknowledging it is very important. And, you know, like, you could have one ability. I started out being very clairvoyant, meaning I saw. And then I got scared because I didn't like to see them in this, in the air, you know, like ghosts. So I became very clairaudient, which I hear. And so just a reminder, Michelle, that even though you feel him right now and you want to see him, in time when he's ready, he'll show you himself more. The reason why they hold back on that a lot of times is because once you see me once, you want to see me again, and you don't do the grief process as we're supposed to.
You know, I often say that the dearly departed, let's refer to them that way. I hate to say use the other "the." They tend to come through in dreams, and that's another thing I've noticed over the years. they will come to you in dreams. And a lot of those that were very close to you that have passed on, they will reveal themselves in dreams. So Michelle, if you've seen your husband in your dreams, that was him connecting with you, letting you know, I'm still here. I'm watching over you. And there's nothing wrong with that. So, hey, by the way, while we have a little bit of a pause here, I'd like to let everyone know, much like we've done with Michelle, if you all have any questions in the chat room, please feel free to share, and I will go ahead and let Miss Erica know that y'all got a question. So, Erica, let's talk about, you know, you being a trailblazer, the first Black woman to actually start comic book convention. I mean, comic book conventions have been around forever, but you were the first one to blaze trails in that area. And it's hard enough being a woman. You and I both coming from backgrounds where people tend to kind of like consider us, you know, not that important. I'm Latino and, you know, you're African American, and bam, you know, all of a sudden we got all these things, all these boundaries that we need to break through. But how accomplished do you feel now knowing that you are one of the, if anything, the leading first Black woman to actually start a successful comic book convention?
I'm very proud of it because, you know, from a young age, I've been very entrepreneur. I started into psychology and opened up childcare facilities, and the Comic-Con, or the paranormal convention that I started in 2009, I think with Chip, and that was actually an expo. And then we went in with Brian Hornois and, you know, different ones. It was really to give my kids, my families, you know, something to do, because they consisted of multiple things, not just the paranormal, even though that was my thing. That was my jam. It was basically, here, $10, you can bring your kids. Kids, I think, were free at that point. You don't see that in conventions. You don't see that at all in anything nowadays. But we started out $10 a head, basically, and we never went. I think my highest was $20 a head. And, you know, what I'm most proud of is, like, you could meet, you know, a lot of the celebrities that I would fly down and put in hotels with my own money. You could meet any of those. You could, and that was one of the things. I was a no-nonsense kind of convention person, because I wasn't about, you know, if you had a guarantee, you got your guarantee. Mm-hmm. But I was more concerned about the child that walked in there and wanted to see Lou Ferrigno, and Lou Ferrigno being at his table and accessible to that child, even if that family couldn't afford the signature in the photograph, that child was still going to go up to that table and be able to meet the Hulk. So mine was very inclusive. It was all open. You know, you could probably, you know, walk by and take a photo of somebody if you wanted to, but that was how I set mine up. They weren't secluded in a certain area until later on, but they were very accessible to the public. And that's kind of the way I ran mine for many, many years. And I'm very, that I think is what I'm more proud of, because I've seen, you know, the paranormal, some of these tickets are expensive, because as you know, there's that overhead fee and flying in people, putting them in hotels and all those things. So when you ask, why am I paying $200 and something or whatever for a ticket? That is why, you know, that is why sometimes these conventions don't even break even. And I started it out in 2009 doing $10 a head. So you can imagine, you know, my vision was different, and it has stayed that way. And I'm kind of proud of that. It was not focused on money. It was focused on more so our community and what I felt we needed at that time.
Well, thank God for that. A big shout out real quick before we continue. Chris Mack Attack, thank you for joining us. Brandy Sampson, Crystal Allman, and Lady Mystic Lightworker. Thank you for joining the show and listening in. I remember when I went to your convention, 2011. God, it seems like forever ago. And I remember just having fun. I mean, Christopher St. Booth was there.
Yeah.
There was so many. Brian J. Kano become before Brian J. Kano, and actually at that time Haunted Collector was already out, but he wasn't as big as he is today. just sitting there with his other partner in crime when it came to the paranormal, and everyone just egos. That's what I loved. Egos were shoved aside. Everyone was on the same playing level. They didn't care who you were, what you did or anything or what you had accomplished. And I loved that. And the fact that it was all for fun. I remember you on the spur of the moment saying, "Hey, Rich, I need someone to go up on stage. Can you do it?" I'm like, "Yeah, I guess." And I, mind you, I knew Scott, but I didn't know him that well. And we just hit it off. You know, there he was, you know, I forgave him, and I'm sure God forgave him for wearing the New England Patriot jersey on stage, because I'm a Miami Dolphin fan, in case y'all don't know. And they're in the same conference, so there's kind of like a button heads all the time. But hey, whatever. I love the guy, and we just had a good old time just talking. And before I knew it, I started looking. There were people sitting in front of the stage listening in to what we had to say. And I forgot who it was that was walking around with a microphone asking questions. And we were just answering away, just enjoying ourselves. And that's really what this should be about. People have just – the business side of it, I agree. That's why tickets nowadays are $200, $300. I've seen even up to, you know, $800. And that's with no guarantee that you'll be able to see any of the celebrities that are there. But there's a reason for it, because – A lot of these, you know, this is business. Yeah. You know, you want to get people connected, but unfortunately, you know, that doesn't happen all the time. So let's see.
Was that the year too that I had the Kiss band playing on stage? I can't remember.
I don't think I would have remembered that.
Okay.
I do remember this one. This is the first time I met
George Norrie.
No. Well, George Norrie was I believe the second year.
Okay.
But
let me think.
Who it was the year there? That you had taken us to
Ace Schrader was there, Brian Harnois was there, Ken Gerhard was there, Deborah Collard, Brian Watley, the Booth Brothers. And I can't remember. I don't remember who else was there.
Well, there was Scotty Rourke.
Yes, Scotty Too Hottie was there.
Scotty Too Hottie. And I remember you had taken us to a golf club, and Scotty, dressed in his Hawaiian shirt and shorts, I was in fear for his life, to be honest with you, because I dress black all the time. I'm goffy, whatever. And you're like, "Yeah, what do you feel about this? What are you getting?" Because you're kind of like somewhat testing, you know, Scotty. Mm-hmm. Scotty was spot on. And then you got a phone call that Chris Booth had just flown in. You're like, "Oh, I gotta go pick him up." And you took off. And we were like,
"Yeah, they're down there."
But okay. All right. And then you're like, you came back like I don't know how long ago later. And you're like, "I'm so sorry, I forgot I left you guys here." And I was like, "Oh, I'm fine." I was the one scared for Scotty, because Scotty was dressed in a Hawaiian shirt and shorts in a golf club. Now that's like putting chum in the water and hoping the sharks will just, you know, swim away. It ain't gonna happen. Yeah. But that's how I first met Scotty Rourke, and he was great. I loved Scotty, still do to this very day. You know, but like I said, the feel that you give when you have your conventions is everybody's on the same level. You know, it doesn't matter if, you know, this person's been on 2, 3, 4, 5 shows on TV or written several books or whatnot. And that's another thing I want to touch on, because I know you're an author, right?
Well, technically it was a children's book, so I don't really qualify. Oh,
come on, but that's still, those are the most important. You're forming the most important minds that are going to lead us in the future here. But, you know, by the way, Michelle is like really saying thank you, thank you, thank you. She's saying you're an amazing woman, Erica. Let me tell you, she is. I agree with you. Erica is truly amazing. Crystal Allman is stating, okay, I'm going to say it like in the dating game. "I'm an Aquarius and would like to know if I'm ever going to find my twin flame or spiritual partner. If so, how much longer? Because I love long walks on the beach and stuff like that. No, she didn't really say that last part. But I figured deliver it that way because it would be more appealing. You know, Crystal, I'm just playing around. Calm down, calm down. So she's hoping that you connect with her and see if she'll ever meet her twin flame. I have a feeling we have many twin flames, to be honest with you, but that's my opinion. So she's, yeah, she's out there staying, hoping.
Right. Let's roll with it. One thing I'm really great with telling people, I don't do astrology. I leave that for the awesome people that do that. I just kind of focus on you by name. That's just my thing. It's like, let me hear your name and let me tap in. And I normally go through this process of information, the highest good, because I think that kind of helps protect and the intention is good for both of us. And so when I focus on her, I get this whole thing of duality. Okay. So the duality for me is like, you know, I'm a woman, I'm a man, I've got this whole balance where it's difficult for me to give up a little bit of power. And sometimes that comes from a place before, but there is a balance of her energy, which I'm similar. So I love that. But there's this whole thing about blast from the past. So this is unresolved 3 relationships ago. So you have to count 1, 2, 3 and see where we are. And unfortunately, this has caused you to kind of like put your not worth, because I think you know you're the bomb.com, but a part of you is still healing and you ran into another relationship and another relationship. And so what I'm going to say with that is stay off of, like, I write things down. So that's kind of what I'm
you're like, I am.
They're talking and so I start writing. Yeah. And so the online process is not working for you. So if you've been online and you've looked for love in all the wrong places, I would stop that. Isn't there a song like that? What'd you say?
Isn't there a song like that? Looking for love in all the wrong places. Okay.
Yes. you're more one of those show me states kind of girls. So you kind of need to be in, and I hate to say a Comic-Con, you need to be in the place of spirituality where you're meeting people that are different or weird or whatever, but you need to see them head on. You don't need to talk to them online because you've been hurt and people are able, because you're very empathic, people are able to kind of have holes in them and you complete them and then move on. But you need to see someone face to face, sum them up, let your intuition tell you whether or not this is in the highest good. And for some reason, like Rich, I've always thought Rich is a good looking dude. Rich has an edge. I almost feel like you like edgy people, and edgy people aren't the right people for you. You need somewhat of like a little bit more of a nerdy person that can give you that ability to be you, fabulous girl. Okay. So cute. So I hope that helps you.
It's been 4 years since I've dated. My last breakup was bad. That's what Crystal has to say. So, and Michelle is stating, can you please let me know if I will ever find happiness again, if I may?
So this is what I'm going to tell you, Michelle. See, I'm a different kind of psychic girl. I tell people people cannot define you. Never go to a psychic to tell them, are you going to be happy? All that is about you, honey. Yeah. So let's say you set that intention that you want happiness. The prayer or the intention would be, send it to me in a way that I can see it. Okay. And so I'm going to say, yes, I'm going to claim this for you. Amen. Okay. We're claiming that you're going to be happy. And so what you have to do is self-talk every day when you wake up. I say I'm beautiful and badass, but you can create your own thing. And then you project and attract things that are in your highest good. And so that would be a yes, 100%. But I need you to think that, not me. Definitely. Okay. So I hope that helps you.
You know, I've always said that happiness depends on you. If you need another person to make you happy, although, you know, I'm not going to deny that to other people because, you know, it helps when you have someone else to just tell you, hey, I love you. I think you're awesome. I think you're beautiful. I'm not going to deny that to anyone, but you have to love yourself first before you can have and make room for other people that you can include into your life and say, I can love this person too. It has to be a decision. It has to be an equal opportunist type of situation. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I got to put my old man glasses on because at 54, you start losing your eyesight and it sucks. So from Alicia, this Monday I bought my Amazon parrot. Is that a thing? To the vet for blood. Oh, I bought my Amazon parrot to the vet for blood work, and he was, or I guess she's meaning to say brought. And he was not well since his last in June 24th. I had to leave and come back to pick him up later. While the vet took x-rays, mm-hmm. Charlie screamed out and passed away. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, hon. I am hurting badly and miss him a lot. Had Charlie for nine years. Is he around me? I have the answer to that, but you go ahead. This is your time. This is your spotlight. Come on, Erica.
Yes. So just drawing this out, okay? I didn't get too detailed. So this is entering your house right there. That's the door. So this would be, here, let me write it on the left and right. Okay. So as a animal, I am drawn to that back space back there. Okay. That's where I feel I am. So if that is a bedroom, that's a place where this person had the animal had the cage. I don't know, but that's kind of, I like validation in a different way. We already know he's around you because like Rich said, you don't even have to question that. That's your baby. Pets, people, they continue on in the afterlife. I've seen so many dead cats and dogs and snakes, believe it or not, and turtles and all kinds of animals, because whatever we love loves us, and they do come back. Okay. So I would have to say yes, but tell me what this room is, because that's where I'm drawn to be. Okay.
Yes, and I hope that helps. Need some validation here. And I'm hoping she's still on there. I'm going to ask our producer if she's still on board or not, because sometimes they come on, ask a question, and then they either get tired. I don't see her anywhere on my chat side. Miss Alicia, if you heard, that's verifying what you feel or what she feels. My bedroom cage behind me. So, Erica, could you hold up that map one more time? Front door being on the bottom, and would your room be there? Yes. Okay, so you got your confirmation right there. All right, good. So yes, to answer your question, your baby's still with you. Amen. And you know what? That's something that, like I said earlier, I could answer that. All living creatures mm-hmm. have energy, and call it spirit, mm-hmm. call it a soul, call it what you will, but they leave behind a trace. And they leave that trace with you. Not too often people tend to forget, because you get caught up with the grief process, and that's normal. And thank you so much, Alicia. And I hope that that gives you some kind of comfort. Back to Michelle. She's stating, I've always had my husband to confirm things for me. Now that he is gone, I feel so unsure and alone. Do you want to take this, Erica, or is this just, I think this is a grieving process kind of situation. And honestly, this is something that I would handle with kid gloves, personally. Morning, everyone. Yeah, Damien from Scotland has joined us.
Hello.
From Scotland.
So this is what I'm going to tell you, Michelle. First of all, I'm going to give you a big hug, okay? So a big, big hug. Because what happens is when they speak to us, we feel the love they give, the love they have. And that's why sometimes you'll catch mediums crying just along with you, because that transference of energy, of love, of, hope or sadness or whatever is we're human, right? So I feel this strong connection for you. But I also would have to tell you, if you were in my office, I would tell you, baby girl, I love you, but you do need to get counseling, because I left a job on a line because my ethics are just set up differently, where people would want to call me and talk to their loved one every day, and the line would stop it. I just said, I'm not doing this anymore because I don't ever want to be opportunistic in death. And so what I want you to understand is that sometimes don't be a psychic person that's going to all these psychics for validation. You have to validate that loved one is present. And even though you're grieving and you need more validation, sometimes we do have to say, maybe talk to a therapist. And if you don't want to go to a therapist, sweetie, get you a good grieving book with, you know, a lot of times with a pamphlet or a handbook where you can write those things out. I don't know if he's cremated because he just blew a whole bunch of cremation on me, but there might be something where you need to write him a letter. Okay. And there's a lot of times in different religion, there's a process of release. And so if you released him already in the ocean, if not, then maybe you need to release the whole feeling of sorrow with flowers or something in the ocean. That might be helpful. Okay.
Question for you, Erica, from me, and I already have kind of an answer for it because I've experienced so many cases over the 40 years I've been in the paranormal. But do you feel that in the grieving process, incidentally, not on purpose, people tend to hold back a soul from actually being free and actually earthbounding them?
So I love that you brought that up. Because I always tell people spirits have free will. So this whole, and I'm different. You know, I'm going to say that I'm different. You know, you got these mediums going in there. Let me clear the house. Let me make this spirit move. And I'm looking at you like, okay, girl.
This house is clean.
My job here is done. And, you know, then next day, same thing happens. So what happened? Basically, spirits have free will. Animal spirits, people spirits, they have free will. But yes, so if I'm here in this high vibration of heaven, however you want to look at it, Summerland, however you want to look at it, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm coming back to earth because I want to comfort you in your grief. I could be here a lot more than I want to be. So there is a sense that sometimes you're holding a spirit in this level in your grief, because trust me, what they want to do is make us feel better and make us to some... The thing that a good friend of mine says is we are all walking each other home. Okay. That's how we are. So they're home. You're going to be home many, many thousands of years, but they come here to help us. They send us these signs saying, hey, baby, I'm okay. Listen to this song. Hey, baby, I'm okay. Pinching you on your butt. So that's a whole nother thing. But you know, it's like all these things and, you know, that's normal. But sometimes you gotta find a way to not let go, because we never let them go, but move on in a way that works for you. And that's like Rich said, sometimes we do hold them back. We hold them back because we're not grieving the way the grief process is set up to do.
We got two more questions coming at you. We're going to go with, let's go with Lady Mystic Lightworker, because she's asked twice, and then we'll go to my BFF, Olga Bennett, and ask her question. Hello, Erica. Can I please get a general reading? I know she asked for a reading before. What do you need? Do you actually need a picture from them, or just, you know, their name?
What was her first name?
What's your first name, Lady Mystic Lightworker? Because I'm sure that's not what your mama gave you when you were first born. Just your first name, at least. Okay. And this is out to Lady Mystic.
Okay. And we can come back to that. Well,
Donna.
Names are consent for me. And that's just how I've trained myself, that if I have your name, I have consent to read you. If I'm at Walmart and I see some random dude or some random girl, I don't know them. They don't know me. I don't have consent. So names are consent for me. So right. Donna, this is a difficult little time for you, girl. Energy level is, I would check your B's and things. So it feels like there is a depletion of energy. A lot of times with empathic people or psychic people, we are what I call sponges, and we're always absorbing other people's energy, negativity, drama, emotions, et cetera, right? So you have not a nervous breakdown coming up, so we're not thinking no negative, but you are so full right now with your, what I'm gonna call etheric field. You need to do something like maybe take a shower where you have energy falling down, or take what I do, like the salt bath and things, jump in the ocean, jump in the lake, go into earth, you know, nature, and release things, because you're holding on to a lot of things. With relationships around you, you do have a lot of people that have come into your life just recently. And because you're a guarded energy, you don't really know which ones of these people that you trust. And I'm going to say, girl, open up and allow these friendships to become good friends, not have the guards up that you've had. I do see you kind of starting to write things too. And for some reason, I know you have a really, really cool name to Mystic Lightworker, but I'm seeing what would be like cards. And these could be like Oracle cards, but I'm going to challenge you to make your own, because the decks ain't going to work for you the way that how I'm seeing this. You might design your own deck or create your own deck through art, even if they're 3x5s, I don't care. But I want you to start channeling more of the intuition through a secondary source, because even if you're doing Reiki or some type of energy healing, you putting your energy inside the element in that way, like if you're a massage therapist, this makes a lot of sense. You touching or being in that is causing ill effect for your health. So I do feel like you are transposing the energy, not releasing it. So you might be drained. You might be sick. You definitely feel tired. I would think you were anemic in your energy. So those are just some things that I get for you. Okay. I hope that also helps you. Okay.
And just a little something I've learned over the years, and Erica, please feel free to correct me if you feel you need to. Anyone that has that ability empathic wise, just empathic, you're absorbing other people's emotions. You need to find a way to release those other people's emotions, because those can also tend to be very, very dangerous and also drain you of your energy and make you physically ill as well. So find a way to release. I'm a water sign. I'm a Scorpio. So for me, in order for me to release empathically other people's energies, I have to be in front of water. Mm-hmm. So that being said, yeah, here's my kitty cat saying hi. Say hi.
Oh, I'm taking you. You're so adorable. Hey, girl.
That's a boy.
He's a girl. Hey, girl.
he's scared of the boom boom going on outside. So a little piece of advice to Miss Lady Mystic, Donna Lightwork, find a way, something that, you know, whatever your you know, sign may be, there's earth, water, air, and fire. Mm-hmm. And make sure to go to those elements and release all that negative energy. I always imagine myself releasing the negative energy in black, like negative bad energy, and breathing in through my crown chakra something positive. So you may want to do that. You're a Cancer, so then you're a water sign. Go in front of water. It works. Trust me when I tell you that. I hope that helps, whatever Erica and I have shared with you. Now to get to my BFF, Olga Bennett, if we can get her question up here. Let's see. So I have dreams that something is trying to go in me and I feel like I am going to lose my soul, that I scream in the name of Jesus, go away. I am pagan and also have dreams of trying to send spirits to the light. What do you get off of that?
All right, Olga. Hey, girl. Love your energy, by the way. So I'm doing this for podcast radio purposes. But a lot of times when I read people, and I encourage people, when you read people, record the session, have them record it, because you don't need to do them repetitively. You're not their therapist. You're to give them insight. They're supposed to go away, learn, grow, and then maybe come back later. The other thing is, I normally don't want validation because that feeds into ego. But in this situation, I will need some from you. So I go in, a lot of times when I focus on Olga, I go into a home, okay? And so with you having some things going on that's kind of like scaring you, not really, but you know, it's kind of invading your energy as far as in the dream state to make you kind of scared, because obviously it's not a good vibration. So this is kind of what I feel like, okay? I'm in a house and there is a warm body. So this could be a dog or a cat, but I only see one of them, okay? But this would be a pet of some sort. It's over there to the left in the house, to the left back. Okay. And so I am on the opposite side of that house. So this might be here. And I feel like I can go up a level. So you might have a two-story or a basement or something like that. Because I feel like I can go through the wall. Okay. And so in the dream state, I'm tossing and turning. I'm you. There is I hate to tell you this, but this is a slender shadow figure that I'm looking at that's talking to you in the bed. Okay. So you should be on the left-hand side walking to the bed. And it's not all the time, but I think you pick this up. I hope you investigate, because I feel like I'm looking at a house where there's woods here. There's a house. I want to say there's a secondary building over here. Could have been a whale right there or something weird. And this is something that you have communicated with, I hate to say, in an environment that came to you but goes away. So it's not in the house all the time, but it has come and gone. And I don't know, have you lost like a dog or something? Because then I see this little deceased animal dog that's not present, it's deceased. And that you might have an animal like a cat or something in that house that does protect you. And trust me, cats and dogs do protect us in our world. So it's great to have pets in the home. So let's get some information about that. Okay.
Shadow. Yeah. Shadow was his name.
Okay.
And I kind of feel, Olga, that she's describing the house you used to live in out in the boonies. I don't know if there was a well there, but you can confirm or deny, because I don't really know too much when it comes to that house.
That's kind of how I saw it. There was a house. There was a
the Redland house
out there, and then there was something here that was circular. I don't know if it was a well or some kind of other structure.
She said it had an attic.
Okay. That could be it. I was more drawn to be up. So if it's that way, she probably heard sounds in that space too, creaking and things like that.
And she said it was built in 1921. Okay. Hello, Denise. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
So Olga, if you feel there, that may have been where you got that attachment, by the way, that far back, because I know she hasn't lived there in a minute. And her dog Shadow did pass away a few years ago. Actually, I think it was a year or two, if I'm not mistaken. And she was very close to Shadow. And since then,
really quick question, and this isn't about, I don't know that this is family, but this is usually, I know that looks vulgar, but this is usually a sign for me of hanging or suicide. So, because when you don't understand, I ask more questions, because it's just how I am. And so I'm like, why are you standing by her? Like, are you from that other house? Are you, am I misunderstanding it? Whoever this is standing by your bed. I see them as a shadow figure. It doesn't mean they're evil. It just means that's how the spirit would appear if you were to wake up and see it. What I do feel is that there is some connection to suicide. Ow. So it could be gunshot. I don't know. Something to do with the head trauma. But there needs to be some understanding that they're okay, not in hell. Even though one was kind of rough, like, you know, maybe mean, maybe something to do with this, which could be medication or something. There's this need to be like, I'm okay. I'm sorry. Like, forgive me, but I'm coming to you in the bit state to talk to you. Okay. And I love you. Yeah. It's weird. I love you. Like, I want to touch you, but I'm respective of your energy, but like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. So I keep hearing that. Okay. And I got a headache. So let me release that, releasing that, because that's what we do. We release. That's not my energy. You don't have permission to give that to me.
And then she says she has two suicide exes.
So that's going to be what it is. Because when you didn't understand in the house, me, my brain, the way I am is I don't want you to make it make sense. I want it to make sense. And so when I was seeing the house different and it didn't make any sense about the whale, technically, I felt like, okay, let me find out what they're talking about. So they knew you in that environment and they also know you in the house now. And that's why they're distinguishing the two.
And
that was this. Okay. Makes sense. Okay.
Right.
I don't like to see this because I'm African American. So when they start showing me just like hanging around the neck. I mean, do the math. It don't work for me.
I don't like neckties that hang from a tree. Let's just say that.
But in love, Olga, just know that even unfortunately, sometimes people choose that. And there's a big misconception about suicide and hell and, you know, it exists, but that's not where they are. So.
Timothy was tall and skinny and was into the black arts. I guess that was another ex of hers that committed suicide. Okay. So there you go. I hope that helps, Olga. I'm sure I'll get a phone call from Olga later, knowing her. Let's see. Kendall Fennell, welcome to the show. When you get the chance, can you channel anyone for me? Okay, so before we go on readings and everything, I want to get to a few more things with Erica. Producer of your own show, you mind filling in a brother here? Because you know what?
Yes. So, you know, we kind of traveled. Like I went from, you know, Comic-Con. Well, no, it started out I went to Penn State Paranormal State when they did it at UNIFCON in Pennsylvania. And then I started kind of doing Dragon Con and different things. This was when Mark Tetlow was out there, you know, that's so long ago. But, you know, I was going and doing different events. And so I brought that to Pensacola. And so, you know, basically I had a vision that I was going to be on television. Now I had been on Ghost Hunters when they came here to Pensacola Lighthouse. But I kept envisioning me on like paranormal TV. And when it didn't happen, and as we talked before, you know, I speak people's names in rooms of opportunity. And the thing did happen for me, but I didn't go seeking it. I wasn't like, put me on your show. But it never happened. So I just said, okay, that's all good. And so being the Leo boss bitch that I am, I just basically created my own and I call them bootleg movies because we didn't know what we were doing. We were just having fun. It wasn't about, what was that? You know, it was just, hey, I'm in this house. I don't know what the fuck is happening. You know, it was real. Like if I didn't get anything, we didn't get anything. It was, you know, Richard Johnson, you know, a lot of people know him. He has his own team now, EVP Paranormal. Brian Watley, who had Ghost Hunters of the South. A lot of other people that were just friends. They came aboard and said, Erica, whatever you need, we're here. And so we created this show. Calvin Griffin was, you know, basically filming with us. And we just would go in historic houses and film. And I do a walkthrough. They do their investigation and we kind of play around. And, you know, we were just playing and we pitched it to different networks through Film Hub, you know, very, no secret there. You submit it and, you know, people grab it that want it and Paraflix came. So we, you know, submitted it to them and we got on there. And then, you know, we stream, you know, we're not on Discovery and all that other stuff, but we stream in multiple countries and I'm very popular in the UK and it's crazy. And so, you know, when I was able to see myself on TV, even though I had to put myself on TV, I said, okay, you did it. Because what I understood was that it wasn't about me. It was about the African-American girl like me and the people of color like you also, Rich, saying, you know, because there are diversities in religion, you know, and people would come to me and say, are you a voodoo practitioner, you know? And there was always all these assumptions because I do have a French sounding name, you know, so I played with it. Yeah, I turn your ass into a frog. You know, so if you're gonna go there, I'm gonna go there. So, but, you know, the thing was I wanted people like me to see people like me on TV in a normal way. Like we weren't, you know, conjuring demons and I wasn't Skeleton Key and, you know, and doing all this crazy shit. I was just a mom with two kids and just like you. And we have ability and there are people that have ability. And I wanted to normalize that. And I think that's why we did it. And, you know, I would be happy to see more people, you know, it doesn't have to be me, but more people of color, because there's multiple colors on in the paranormal field, and you know, making it not so dramatic, but really dealing with the non-drama of it. So
you know, it's funny. I feel like people like you and me, we tend to get typecasted regardless of what we try. So with you, it's voodoo. With me, it's Santeria and all that BS. And I'm like, nah. And it's funny because I was on a haunting. I was a regular cast member for Eli Roth Presents Legion of Exorcists as their resident demonologist, which I've studied for. But I've also done paranormal investigating. And mm-hmm. people tend to forget that. And they've typecasted me. Mm-hmm. So it's like, now everybody comes to me. Is it a demon? I'm like, no, it's not. It's, come on. Do you feel, are we going through that? Because we went through it. Are we going through satanic panic again this time around?
Most definitely. Yeah, yeah. Most definitely. Because, you know, and I live in the Bible Belt. You know, we're in Florida. How much more could it be? I'm in Pensacola. It's even worse. But, you know, and I would say I'm spiritual. My connection to God sometimes is stronger than most people would think. But what I will say is that there's so much fear and panic about the end days because, you know,
evangelicals.
Yes. People forget that the same things that were going on 100 years ago, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago were going on now. You just didn't hear about it. You didn't know that such and such was sleeping with such and such and this and that because you didn't have the internet. The same BS that's going on that everybody's running the end of days because, you know, God is gone in the world and all this other, the same things are happening probably on a very similar level. You just didn't know about it. So, yes, I think that there is this. And then you've got the Hollyweird, the Hollywood, all this stuff coming out. That have been going on again in Hollywood for years, but because now people are outing people and doing all these things, it's the devil days, it's the Satan days, it's, you know, whatever, whatever. If it helps you connect with your spirituality, my team consists of Wiccans, my team consists of Catholics, Christians, we have everything on our team because you have to help people of different faiths. I, as a Christian, can't go in there in a Wiccan family or a pagan family and say, do this, do this. It doesn't work for you. You have to respect everyone's religion and help them with their paranormal activity and their faith. And that's what we do on my team.
And she's too scared to have me on her team. So it is what it is. I get it. I get that all the time. Satanic panic. Yes, I really feel with a lot of, you know, a lot of people. Let me say, give a shout out to everyone. Jenny Davis, Jennifer, Damian Smith from Scotland. And let me, you know, just let everyone know that we're all here. We're all enjoying each other's company. Thank you so much for popping on. Crystal Allman, the Exorcist Believer movie freaked me out so much I put my pendulums away for a bit. Satanic panic. Okay. You know, you know what? Look, I'm one of those. I don't judge what your faith is. I hate calling it religion, to be honest with you, because religion is man-made more than anything else. It's what you have faith in. If you choose to believe in a pencil, and go, I will worship this pencil. That's your prerogative. We live in a free country. You could do what you want. It's when people start forcing their religion down other people's throats. That's where I draw the line. That's why I choose not to talk about that or politics on my show, because it's very divisive. And I've always said, look, your faith is your faith. God bless you for it. Whatever God you may want to bless you for it, I respect that.
I love that.
Do you feel we've lost our way now because of all of this satanic panic going on? Because it seems like people just want to insist that the rapture's right around the corner, come and find out again. And we have so much of this, that the Olympics offended people. People, come on, wake up. For reals. I feel we're there, Erica, because you know what's made it worse than when we were going through it? This social media. Mm-hmm. We didn't have social media. We only had radio and TV and newspapers. That was it. Nowadays, all you need is your freaking phone. You mm-hmm. know in a matter of minutes what's going on around the world. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, you're 100% right. And, you know, I think, too, when you're looking at a lot of the judgment, you know, where people are projecting judgment and they're, you know, talking about whatever religion or this person doing this and that, when you really search, and I'm not judging, but I'm just saying, when you really search into the lives of the people projecting the hate, they're not being like
that was me.
Or whatever their faith is. They're not really listening to the scripture of their faith by projecting the hate that they're projecting. So it's almost to me, and I see it because I'm from psychology, it's projection. It's not really identifying with your faith. It's projecting, I am better than you. Okay. And they need to really look at the scripture, whatever faith-based system they're in, really look at it and digest it and understand what, if you're a Christian, what Jesus really would do. Jesus would be out there in the streets with the homeless.
Yes.
And the people that are sick and, you know, whatever. And he would be helping these people, not condemning, criticizing, telling them to go back to their country, you know, telling them not to eat cats and dogs in Ohio, whatever. You know, that kind of thing, you know, he would be feeding because he could make, you know, water out of wine and he could create many fish from one. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And I mean, you know, I'm just going to throw that out there and then I'm going to walk away from it.
that's the true message. You know, a lot of people seem to think, you know, and you know, that Jesus is all high and mighty, and it's really the people that practice the religions that make themselves above everybody else, when in fact they should actually be, hey, we're all on the same level, we're all on the same earth. Last time I checked, we all put our pants on one leg at a time. My status don't make me any more special than anybody. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are, what you've accomplished, how many shows you've been on, how many books you've written. If you approach me with mm-hmm. disrespect, we're going to have problems. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just walk away. I tend to be one of those people that if you disrespect me, I walk. And you'll never hear from me again. There's no need for me to go into a pissing contest with anyone that I don't know, yet they seem to know a lot about me and want to judge me. That's where I draw the line. And I think a lot of people, once you all start realizing that we're all in this together, we're all underneath the same blue sky called Earth, and we need to start working together to make this a better world. Erica, what is your ultimate goal other than what you've already accomplished? What do you look forward to doing that you have not done yet? Because let's face it, you're pinky in the brain right now. You've taken over when it comes to doing the things you've wanted to take over and do. What do you feel still needs to be done?
Well, I have been recently guided to create an event, and I have the website being built now, and it will be in Pensacola where I live. It will call out to have speakers of various topics, not focused only on the paranormal. There'll be technology, there'll be business, there'll be spirituality, wellness, the paranormal, metaphysics, things like that. And so that is scheduled for next year on the 20th, I believe, of 2025. And so that website is going to be called goodvibes.com. And so I'm working on that. And it just came to me one day. And how it came to me was, you know, the Comic-Con was only created for my families. And I hope my children would take it over, and they're in IT making, you know, they're doing well. They don't want that. So I went back to, what do I love to do? I love to unite people and bring them together. And I love to create events. And I love to have that exchange of that new person who's just trying to understand about who they are. Are they crazy? You know, meeting someone of knowledge that is sent to them in their life to help them on their journey. You know, even meeting you, you know, there's a genuineness about you that, you know, I haven't seen you in years, talked to you in years, but you're the same Rich that I met when I met you. You could have been on a million TV shows, who cares? You're still the same Rich that I met when I met you. And I always respected that because, you know, when you're around people, and I've been around a lot of people in this field, you can't bullshit a bullshitter and you can't bullshit me because, you know, I've dealt with celebrities. I've flown them on my own dime here in Pensacola, all kinds, and put them up in hotels. And they will tell you, when Erica picked you up at the airport, I don't care if you were Eric Roberts or whoever, you were going to be treated just like I treated Rich. And I didn't play. And you know that. I didn't play. I don't play now. I didn't bend to your ego. And this is what I would tell him. I'm Black. The buck stops here. You know, you're not going to run the, whatever you thought you were going to do when you meet me and see me in the airport and you know that I own this bitch. You're not going to try that. It never happened. Like, oh, you own it? Oh, yes, I do. And I'm the one who paid to fly you here. And I'm the one who's going to take you to the hotel. And so you're not going to try that shit with me. And I think that's a lot of times the problem is that no matter what field, not just the paranormal, because spirituality also has these big egos, we forget that we're doing work to help humanity.
I agree.
It's not about us. And that's where we need to go back to is, why did you start in this field? Was it because you wanted to be on television?
No.
Okay. Why did you really start? Get back to the basics of what you really want to do. Are you here to help people or just, if you're here to be on TV or whatever, just say it, you know, be honest with people. But if you're here to help people, help people. That's it.
What's funny is when I started this years and years and years ago, I was doing it to help people. That's always been my passion. And then all of a sudden I'm offered opportunities to be speaker, to be on shows, to be in books and whatnot. And I've been honored. Don't get me wrong, but it's not what I actually set out to do. I actually set out to help people. But as a result, the universe conspires and God conspires along with what he's created to bring about your rewards, your just rewards. And it just happened. You know, if you set out to just be on TV, you don't worry about it. You'll be on TV, but that's never been my goal. It's just so happens that I happen to have been in this, you know, the right place at the right time and offered the opportunity. And I took it. There have been many opportunities I've turned down where I was like, this don't feel right. And I'm sure you have as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing is, people seem to think that, oh, we're all in this to be on TV. No, I got news for you. I've passed up at least 10 opportunities since the paranormal, you know, craze started to be on TV because it just didn't feel right. And I said, nah, I'm good. I like the reputation I have. I'm not willing to sacrifice what I've worked so hard to create. So that's more than likely where you and I meet in the middle, because we're the same when it comes to that. You know, we're not willing to sacrifice our own, you know, comfort level of our accomplishments. It's not worth it in the end. It really isn't.
For me, it was more of being a mom, you know, being a mom of two young boys, and what was best for my family. And I waited until they were old enough so that they didn't have to have the bullying, because mama ain't the one that's going to let you bully her kid. She just going to show up and act a fool and go to jail. So, you know, I was very conscious of what is best as you know, moral value and, you know, your reputation. And same thing with me. I've been on shows where I've been a party of things where they wanted me to do this. And I'm like, that didn't happen. I'm not for me. So, yeah.
I agree with you. Before we come to a close, because my goodness, this hour and a half has gone by fast. What is in the immediate future for you, Erica? Because there's so much other than what you've already informed us of when it comes to next year and your convention. I believe you said Positive Vibes. It's what it's going to be called.
Goodvibes.com.
Good vibes. Okay.
Goodvibesexpo.com.
Okay. All right. And yeah. This is all going to be in Pensacola, Florida, people, by the way. So if you want to visit the best place around, you know, of course, my producer will tell you, Florida got hurricanes and gators and monsters and sharks and everything. And I'm like, okay. But is there anything in the immediate future? Because here we are, you know, we got the October, we got Halloween month coming. I know people are like, Rich, Halloween is one day. No.
It's a month.
It's actually, to some people, it's the whole damn year. To me, it's the whole month. But there's got to be something special going on when it comes to now. Like, what's going on with you now?
For sure. So, again, I went from convention to ghost hunting, and I have a tour business. So we do AmazingCityTours.com or PensacolaGhostEvents.com. So basically, I have a trolley ride, a trolley tour. It's called the Trolley of Terror. We have the most haunted walking scavenger hunts. We have a haunted walking guided tour. We have Spirits of Seville, where you actually eat in Seville and have investigations with paranormal equipment. I also have a zombies versus vampires event in for the whole month of October in Pensacola, where you can actually dress like a zombie. And you and your herd can go out and basically go throughout the city and do these challenges and solve these puzzles. And a lot of this is found on AmazingCityTours.com. And what I've kind of ventured out into is to be a ticketing site and also a calendar. So if you have an event, whether it be paranormal or, you know, dance or music festival, doesn't matter. You can go to that site and literally post your event at AmazingCityTours.com and Pensacola Ghost Events. All of my websites have this feature, and you can also list your particular event, and it'll go on our page, and it will stream in the areas in which your event are. We have the 50 states covered, and I'm going international too.
Wow. Hey, they love you at the UK. So, I mean, I'm going to ask you this question. What is on your bucket list, number one top bucket list place to investigate that you have yet to investigate?
I don't know. I am very drawn right now to the UK. There is another psychic medium, Angela Thomas. I first saw her on, I think it was Psychic Detectives. I used to love those shows, Psychic Detectives, Cold Case Psychics, Psychic Investigators. Back in the day when I think Patrick Burns was on with the other mediums. I watched those shows. I like more of the crime, you know, tell me about somebody's death that can help a family move on or to find, you know, stuff about a case. So that's why I'm coldcasepsychic.com for my main website. But yeah, so I really would like to go to the UK. I don't know where I want to go in the UK, but I definitely want to meet her either in the UK or her coming to Pensacola. Because I feel like between the two of us, her probably English accent and my Southern drawl, we could kill a crime scene. I mean, I've done a lot. You know, we had a case here where I found a body in Pensacola, and they made a documentary about that. And you can find out information about that on my website, coldcasepsychic.com. But she was a 3-month-old black female that I literally told the cops where her body was in water. So, you know, I've worked cases from time to time in the past. Is all I did was work those cases, but they burned me out, so I stopped.
I was about to ask you, don't those cases burn you out? I mean, it just trying to get connected, and there's so little to get connected to, because those cold cases are called cold cases for a reason.
Yes.
They haven't been keeping up with it, so I would imagine it takes a lot out of you. What are the websites that people can actually keep in touch with you, especially when it comes to the tours? So that, you know, whenever people visit Florida, they got to go to Pensacola and visit Erica, because I'll tell you what, you'll be missing out on a good time if you do.
Yeah, AmazingCityTours.com. We have VisitPensacolaTours.com, PensacolaGhostEvents.com. And you can also find me at my name, ErikaBusserhaney.com, PsychicDiva.com, ColdCasePsychic.com. I think I own probably over 100 different websites and different businesses because I don't, I get bored easily. So then I just create. And so, yeah.
I think that, I think that's what I love about you, that you're always jumping around, but you always make it, you'll be like, yeah, but where are you going? And then eventually when you get distracted by something else, here you come hopping back saying, so where were we? And it's like, oh, okay. All right. That's what I love, the energy. It was, you know, some people will say, oh God, that's too chaotic for me. I'm like, I totally understand it because energy is energy. So it's ever flowing. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, unless we start being the ones that accept only the negative energy, that's when you got yourself a problem, because that's all you're going to invite to you is negative energy. And to all these people that got mini readings from you, I really, truly hope and pray that they use this information to get to the answers they need to look for themselves, because there's only so much. You can guide them, you can nudge them in the right direction, but it's up to them to do the footwork to actually get that peace of mind that they're looking for.
Yeah. And then too, you want to encourage people to not, you know, if a psychic says divorce your husband, okay, let me go divorce my husband. No. You know, if a psychic says don't go outside because the roof's gonna fall, or, you know, what you have to understand is that you are your best psychic tool. Okay. Learn how to tap into your own energy through meditation and prayer. Learn how to protect yourself. There's many, many ways to do that. And ask questions, because even if you're not clairvoyant, or you don't hear like I hear, or you have feeling, everybody feels, learn how to listen to what they call the gut instinct. Your stomach will tell you a lot of things. And, you know, there's a lot of little things that you can find online to tap into that ability. You don't have to pay for it. YouTube is a plethora of information.
Oh, yes.
You got those answers. They're all within.
Well, Erica, we've reached that time. Amazing how time flies when you're having fun. But thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show. And I really hope and pray that we can actually see each other sometime, if not this year, sometime early next year, because it's been a minute. It's been a long, long minute. And we live in the same state, for God's sake. So there's no excuse. So, Erica, thank you so much for being on the show and answering our questions and sharing your journey, your life's path with us all. Thank you, Erica, for being on
the show. My pleasure. Thank you, Rich.
All right. Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of our show. And like I always state at the end of every single one of our shows, live life, don't let life live you, and peace be still. See you all in 2 weeks.